All right, greetings, friends. My name is Weston Nakamura from Blockworks Macro in Tokyo after Asian markets closed. Welcome to the Market Dev Podcast, bringing you global market commentary and analysis from the Asia-Pacific trading session so that you know what happened overnight. So I mentioned last episode, and I just want to give you a very quick sort of update as to what the bond market picture looks like as we head into U.S. CPI as well as the 30-year U.S. Treasury auction later, and by which I mean I'm focusing on the long end of the U.S. and the JGB yield curves and what the Japan impact has been on the, you know, the global bond market picture over the last several days. All right. So this will be very quick. As it stands at the time of this recording, global sovereign DM bond yields have basically come back down from that very sharp rise we saw during last week's Bank Japan's controlling of yield curve control. Full lap back to the levels of where the, you know, when the Nikkei had pre-announced the Bank of Japan's policy 10 hours prior to the official policy announcement, i.e. the levels that first priced in a yield curve control change. So from Friday, July 28th, Bank of Japan Day, 10-year U.S. Treasury yields had gone from 4% to 4.2% and then slammed back down to 4% current. And then over that same time period, we saw 10-year JGB yields go from 57 basis points up to 65 basis points and then back down to 58 basis points current. And as we've gone over ad nauseum, that initial massive spike upwards in global yields that kicked everything off with the Bank of Japan press leak that was last Friday. That was the last Friday of July that was going into Bank of Japan Day. Then over that following week, which was last week, we saw relatively, I guess, orderly, but nonetheless significant rise in yields throughout the course of the week as, quote, managed by the Bank of Japan's very active hands on the JGB market via their buying operations. Chaotic, yes, but could it have been worse? Oh, yes, it certainly could have been. Then, to end last week, we saw a very sharp reversal and fall in yields upon this U.S. non-farm payrolls data coming in weaker than expected on Friday, which pulled global yields back down. But note that on Friday, during Japan trading hours, which is well before the non-farm payrolls print, that non-farm payrolls print that came out after Japan market closed for the weekend. But before that, JGB and U.S. Treasury yields had already seemed to stabilize and top out prior to that, okay? And then we got the U.S. non-farm payrolls catalyst a few hours later to actually move markets sharply, okay? So the overall price action in yields, both up and down, has indeed been, you know, a combined effort from the U.S. catalyst side as well as, you know, the Japan driver side. But by and large, it has indeed been a Japan and JGB guided market at the hands of the Bank of Japan, and Bank of Japan and markets testing one another. Okay, so now let's just go over the last two trading days from the context of the JGB markets, okay, and not just from buying activity from the Bank of Japan, but also the selling activity from the Ministry of Finance and the 30-year JGB auction that had occurred that I had talked about in my last episode. And once again, I'm going to be using futures markets for the sake of both accuracy and observable trading volumes. Okay, so here are 10-year U.S. Treasury futures spanning the initial Bank of Japan press leak sell-off moment all the way to current. And you can see the short squeeze move upwards from last Friday's non-farm payrolls. But, again, global rates price action, right, and the velocity of the moves are being guided by the world's duration anchor, which are JGBs, including this week's decline in yields after the U.S. non-farm payrolls short squeeze. So here are JGB futures from that non-farm payrolls move from that moment, okay? And as you can see, there really wasn't as much activity from the JGB end on that non-farm payrolls data print. And instead, the real rally on volume took place over the past 2 days afterwards, right? when we had basically we had a 30-year JGB auction, and then the following day we had a scheduled Bank of Japan JGB bond buying operation, respectively. There is far more buying activity taking place over these past 2 days of yields dropping, as reflected in the very noticeably elevated trading volumes on JGB futures, for which 10-year U.S. Treasury futures actually were not trading on volume during this current price up, yield down move over the last 2 days. Again, this is still a JGB-driven global bond market. Okay, so here are JGB futures over the last 2 days. Keep in mind, JGB futures do trade overnight during U.S. hours as well. So let's break down the price action and the catalyst drivers over the last 2 days, starting with Tuesday the 8th, when we had a 30-year JGB auction. Okay, now I did cover this in the last episode, and hence the follow-up now, now that it's happened. So let's start at 10:30 a.m. Tuesday morning in Japan. The Ministry of Finance opens the auction offering 727 billion yen of 30-year JGBs. Now note that the last 30-year JGB auction was on July 6th. July 6th. Average yield for that 30-year JGB auction was at 1.2%, and the bid-to-cover ratio, bid-to-cover is basically it's a measure of demand at a primary auction. Bid-to-cover was 3.027 times bid-to-cover, which at the time was the weakest cover ratio since March of this year. Okay, so it was pretty weak demand at the time. So there were some nerves going into this auction this week at the long end of the curve, right? Because these primary auctions, these are when government is issuing new JGBs into the market of primary dealers, meaning this is like the one instance in which there's no Bank of Japan direct buying present, right? So this was basically a first test to see where market demand was under this new yield curve control regime that's still very much in its infancy. But going into this auction on Tuesday, it seemed that the whisper was that there would be demand coming from the Japan life insurance sector in particular at these levels. All right. Then around 12:30 p.m., the results of the morning's 30-year JGB auction come out, and demand was actually very strong. In fact, it was, quote, super strong demand. Average yield of 1.59%, bid to cover was 3.5x. Okay, that's considerably higher than the 3.03 ratio from the last time. Okay, so there was more demand. So, although, yes, these 30-year JGBs were sold at a higher yield than the previous 30-year auction in June, but the bid-to-cover ratio being far stronger this time suggests that there was actually more demand this time than there was in the last one, in the pre-YCCC change days. And so when that was released at 12:30 p.m., JGBs rallied, not just at the 30-year tenor, but at the 10-year tenor and shorter as well. And this was the market mover that rallied treasuries as well, because in this new era of yield curve control, both the Bank of Japan and the markets are, like I said, they're still testing one another to see what levels would clear on their own, and what levels would call for the Bank of Japan to step in, or maybe not just the levels themselves, but what velocity and volatility, the path to get to those levels. But this strong 30-year JGB auction had indeed solidified sentiment to buy. And from that point, and then right into market on close at 3 p.m. that day, there was a very sharp rally in JGBs as well as in U.S. Treasuries. Mind you that this is also 2 a.m. Eastern time, okay? So this is indeed Japan/Asia demand and activity rallying bond markets. As you can see here, the sharpest upside move had occurred over the Asia PM trading session on Tuesday following that 30-year JGB auction. And yes, again, not just in JGBs, but demand in global bond markets. JGBs are indeed the world's duration anchor. Okay, so that was Tuesday, successful auction. Then on Wednesday, we have a scheduled Bank of Japan JGB competitive buying operation spanning from 1 year tenor all the way up to 25-year maturity in JGBs. Okay. So Wednesday at 10:10 a.m., Bank of Japan announces details of how much of what they're going to be buying as per this publishing. This is what these look like when they come out. Okay. So if you take that like general monthly schedule that comes out, you know, the beginning of each month, that gives the range of how much they'll be buying per auction, and then just compare it to what they're actually announcing that they'll be buying on that given day, this is what markets are looking at, as well as what the last time they had a scheduled buying operation. You know, where on this wide spectrum of quantity and at what area of the yield curve is BOJ targeting, they're buying. But for Wednesday, the Bank of Japan just basically kept the amounts of how much they're offering at the same level as the previous operation across the entire curve. So upon that announcement, there was like a very slight downturn in JGBs, maybe because they didn't come in with larger size versus expectations. Not that I know what the expectations were. But I mean, it's not really a significant move. Let's just say markets were pretty flat. Okay. What the market was waiting for, though, wasn't so much this BOJ announcement at 10:10 a.m., with the details of their buying operation, but rather what the result of the Bank of Japan buying operation was, which came out at around 12:30. In other words, was there a ton of selling demand versus what the BOJ was offering to buy? Or was it kind of reasonably balanced, not like overwhelming, such that only an offer of quantity unlimited would suffice, right? Well, at 12:30 p.m., results of the BOJ buying op came out, and it wasn't too crazy in terms of being one-sided, you know, selling or anything like that. And then, once that was established, and once that was, you know, known to markets, then once again, we see a rally into the close, into market close at 3 p.m. A very sharp rally on volume. Okay, so, on both days for which we had new JGBs to be sold into markets, and then we had Bank of Japan offering to buy existing JGBs from markets, both were a litmus test for everybody, for markets themselves, for the Ministry of Finance doing the, you know, JGB issuance, the auction, for the Bank of Japan, and of course for global markets as well. And indeed, on both fronts, once markets saw what the results of market sentiment and, you know, kind of demand was, reflected by both strong demand to buy new JGB30s and not a huge wave of selling JGBs to the Bank of Japan. Both of those in combination, that's what's been rallying global bond markets. And indeed, that carried over into a strong 10-year U.S. Treasury auction overnight in the U.S. for which indirect bidders took down a sizable proportion of the Treasury auction. Okay, indirect bidders are basically their foreign accounts. May very well be and likely are the Japanese. We don't know right now, but indirect means that we know who it's not. It's not U.S. domestics that were pushing the 10-year Treasury demand for a U.S. Treasury auction. Okay? So, going into CPI, as long as the CPI figure isn't some crazy outlier shock and ignoring the knee-jerk algo move right when that figure drops, I wouldn't be surprised if there was an unconditional bid for a strong 30-year U.S. Treasury auction following that, right? Like the orders, the buying orders, they probably have already been placed during Asia hours, literally like unconditional. All right, so that's it. It's just a very quick update, as promised, from my end. Let's see how it goes, but this could very well be a self-fulfilling near-term short cover and like long-only buying that comes in, regardless of what the CPI print is in the U.S., okay? So whatever that print is and then whatever the reaction is, just keep in mind, Japan is back to being a pretty aggressive net buyer currently, both domestic and foreign bonds again. Let's just see if the rest of the world follows along, okay? So just flagging what's going on from this side of the planet that's directly and indirectly impacting global markets, and in this case, it is long-dated treasury yields that continue to be driven out of Asia and Japan for the time being. All right, so that's it from my end. Just a quick update, as I promised, you know, going into CPI. If you found any value out of this, which I certainly hope you did, then please just hit that like button for me, and it would certainly help us out a lot. And on behalf of BlockWorks Macro, my name is Weston Nakamura. We will see you very shortly again. Thank you. Bye.